It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom, and also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speaker, Sheikh Chaubid, as always. answering my questions related to the month of Muharram and some of the Islamic laws regarding the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Sheikh Javid, what's the religious law about beating the drum or blowing the trumpet in the commemoration gatherings and or during the processions of the commemoration of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him?
Of course, in Iran, we see the mourners, they beat the drum and they blow the trumpet. And it's something ordinary. It's something very customary. Mm-hmm. And from a common view, from a common perspective, there isn't any objection to it. But, in other countries, as I see, in some, for example, neighboring countries like Iraq, like India and Pakistan, and even Afghanistan, we see that people are beginning to copycat, you know, to imitate. And they don't tell the difference between drums and trumpets and other musical instruments. They usually think that it's okay to use any kind of musical instruments. Because they don't tell the difference between drums and trumpets, and they think that it's okay to use any kind of sad music, even if any other musical instruments are being played. So to be honest, we should first of all avoid using musical instruments. When it comes to blowing the trumpet, of course, beating the drum, there is no objection in it. Even if other nations start beating the drum and blowing the trumpet, there is no objection in it. But I'm afraid other people might start using musical instruments, as it's usually the case in with other people, because they look at Iran as a role model. Thinking that whatever is done in Iran is okay, so it's permissible because it is a very religious country led by a faqih at the top. So beating the drum and blowing the trumpet are permissible per se.
Mm-hmm, I see. And likewise, flute, for example?
No, they cannot be permissible. Because flute, it's something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if flute comes into play, then there are other things that might be that people might start playing.
I see. Okay. Well, there's another question I would like to ask you, sir. What's the ruling regarding lashing oneself with chains as done by some Muslims?
Well, when we talk about chain, people usually perceive chain as chain only. There's nothing else added to it. But when we speak in a general fashion, if our audience is an Indian audience or a Pakistani audience, they understand something else. Mm-hmm. They think that chain is the very sword, knives that are attached to it. Mm-hmm. So I should reiterate and say that, okay, as far as beating or hitting ourselves with chains only, with chain, no sword involved, no knife or no blades, so it is permissible. And of course, it's a manifestation of grief, it's a manifestation of sadness, but there should not be knives attached to the chains. There should not The mourning ceremony should not involve any cutting tools to make our bodies bleed. So mm-hmm. That's what we should be careful about.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jahad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawhid, our guest the speaker, talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the sad month of Muharram and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. Sheikh Tawhid, what's the ruling, the religious law about buying and selling on the 9th and 10th of Muharram, I mean Taswa and Ashura?
That's a very good question, because many people think that it is kind of, doing business and doing business on these days is haram. It can be haram if it is considered a kind of disregard to the whole event, the event of Muharram and Azadari. But in itself, it's not haram to buy or sell something. For example, on the day, on the 9th and 10th day of Muharram, you need to buy bread, you need to buy food and drink. And these are the essentials, these are the things you need. So if someone opens his shop, his business, with the very aim to make these things available to the mourners so that they can buy what they need on the day of Ashura, and they do not suffer from, let's say, from undue hardship on this day, there's no objection to him. He can do so. But what the people think, there are many people think that, doing business on this day is absolutely forbidden. It can be forbidden, it cannot be, it can be permissible, depending on what your intention is. Sometimes, for example, you are working for a company. The company does not allow you to, does not give you a leave to go out and engage in Azadari or to occupy yourself with Azadari. They do not allow you because you are supposed to be there to work in the shift. And so you are not to blame because you have to be there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, probably you will end up getting fired by the employer. That's exceptional. And the same is the case with people who open their shops in order to make food and drink available for the neighbors. Mm-hmm. There's no objection to them either. Okay, if someone is doing something which is, for example, let's say he is selling cars, he's selling fashionable dresses, or he's opening his salon, selling cosmetics, that is something different, okay? Because on the day of Ashura, you are not going to use makeup or wear cosmetics. And in common view, it's kind of, disregard to Azadari, to Muharram. So if it does look like a kind of disrespect to Azadari and to the occasion of Muharram, then it is not permissible.
I see. Sheikh Tawhid, what's the Islamic law about carrying, about fasting on the 9th or 10th of Muharram?
Yeah.
I mean, Taswa and Ashura.
Fasting is quite permissible on the 9th day of Muharram. And when it comes to fasting on the 10th day of Muharram, of course, fasting is permissible, but it is good. Mm-hmm. It is better.
Right.
To break one's fast after midday by eating something, by drinking something. So fasting is not haram. If a person wants to fast, it's okay. Mm-hmm. There's no problem in it. And Shia Muslims living in and predominantly Sunni populated countries are under the impression that, maybe fasting is recommended, because according to Ahl-Sunnah, fasting on this is recommended, is highly recommended. But that's not the case with Shia Muslims. They believe that, okay, it's better not to fast on the day of Ashura. It's better to eat something.
Is it reprehensible to fast on the day
of
Ashura?
It is, yes.
But what about Tawsu'a?
Tawsu'a, there's no objection in fasting.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Chaudhry.
Sure.
And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. From me and the rest of the crew, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received. Hussein planned to retrieve loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners.